Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine plummeting into a world stripped bare, waking up with no memory, and finding yourself clutching a mysterious object that a frantic stranger once declared holds the future of this planet. That's the electrifying setup we're diving into today. Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to pull back the layers of a compelling new novel, Surface Area, The Locket's Labyrinth. We'll explore its initial mystery, chart the protagonist's harrowing entry into a transformed world, and uncover the stark questions the story immediately poses about survival and purpose.
What's immediately striking in these opening pages is how the author masterfully thrusts us in medias res, that's a literary term meaning into the middle of things.
Oh.
It forces us to piece together a fragmented reality alongside the protagonist. You know,
Yeah.
the narrative isn't just a linear recounting, it's an artful reveal using vivid sensory details and a non-linear timeline to build suspense and thematic depth, rather than simply telling us what happened.
Exactly. You're about to get a clear understanding of this novel's intriguing start, enough insight into its narrative structure and the power of its central mystery to really appreciate the author's craft. So, our journey doesn't begin at the start of Jack's life, but in medias res, like you said, in the thick of things. It's a grim afternoon, July 14th, and we find him having just clawed his way out of a shaft, every inch of him coated in, well, grit-filled mud, sweat, and dust.
That physical discomfort is immediate, almost suffocating.
It is, and it's layered with a profound dawning loneliness. The text really emphasizes this visceral experience. It describes bits of gravel and dust fall onto my head, roll down my neck and shoulders, turning his bare shoulders and neck into a canvas for grit-filled mud. He recounts struggling, using all the force I can muster to heave the huge hatch-like door up and over.
So it's a real physical struggle just to emerge.
Definitely. This isn't just dirt. It's described as an overwhelming force, leaving him dirty, angry, and with an empty pit in my belly.
Oh.
It's an intensely physical and isolating introduction to his new reality.
And this immediate plunge into desolation, it creates a powerful emotional resonance. The phrase barrenness and emptiness on the surface of what is now the Earth isn't merely descriptive. It kind of externalizes Jack's internal fragmentation. It reflects his profound disorientation and emptiness.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the author uses this objective correlative where the barren landscape mirrors the protagonist's inner state to establish a primal connection with the reader. It immediately poses fundamental questions about what has transpired and, you know, what kind of world this truly is.
And the desolation doesn't let up. Jack is left screaming internally, utterly alone, surrounded by a landscape he describes as flat, lonely, desolate. He notes there isn't even a ripple in the land. Flat, lonely, desolate. It is absolutely flat and brown with nothing but the horizon in front of me, next to me, and behind me. No trees, no rocks, no grass, just endless suffocating emptiness.
Wow, bleak.
Very. But then, amidst this overwhelming void, something catches his eye. A little glint. That tiny spark of light in such a bleak landscape is immediately captivating. His pace quickens, his breath catches, his mind races.
Hope, maybe, or just something different.
Maybe both. He's soon on top of it, and the text describes a look of complete insanity spreading across his face. It's his shirt. And on top of it, almost impossibly, lies the heart-shaped golden locket. He collapses onto it, grasping it with both hands, tracing every curve and its every nuance. This is the very locket that was lost.
Right, the one he was warned not to lose.
Exactly, a miraculous reappearance in the most impossible of places.
One striking aspect here is the almost cyclical nature of the locket's appearance. Jack resurfaces onto this transformed world, utterly lost and desperate, and then the locket reappears, almost as if by design.
You think it's intentional, not just chance?
Well, this isn't just chance, I think. It raises a profound question. Is this locket merely an object, or does it possess an agency, a symbolic power that guides it? Or perhaps him. Its reemergence in this moment of extreme vulnerability is a deeply significant, almost fated event.
That cyclical reappearance is deeply resonant. It creates a surge of both disbelief and desperate hope for Jack. It makes you wonder, if you were in his impossible shoes, what would you cling to? What does this reunion imply about the locket's true purpose or even his own?
Big questions right from the start.
Definitely. But how did he end up in this barren, desolate world? The story skillfully takes us back 2 days earlier to July 12, revealing a very different world. This was a world that had recently put an Earth-wide pandemic in the rearview mirror.
Ah, so there's that context.
Right. A world where life had settled back into what the author terms automatic mode, a mundane, almost unsettling rhythm of daily life, punctuated by people killing people and persistent natural disasters. Kind of bleak in its own way.
Yeah, different kind of emptiness, maybe.
Our protagonist, Jack, is introduced as a humble shoe shiner working from his camper van at Main Saint and Sycamore. He lost his previous job during the pandemic and has since adapted to living rough by the rugged coastline of the Pacific Ocean. It's a simple, solitary existence, but one where he finds solace in the crashing waves relentlessly pounding the ever-changing coastline.
This backstory, though brief, is crucial for character development, I think. The pandemic isn't the story's main focus, but it establishes a world already familiar with upheaval and a kind of collective numbness.
Right.
More importantly, it frames Jack as someone who has already adapted to significant change, living on the fringes, his inherent adaptability and his ability to find a measure of peace after disruption. There are subtle hints at the resilience that will be crucial for his survival later.
That's a great point. And this brings us to the pivotal catalyst. Silas, Jack's most intriguing regular customer. Silas is initially described as a small, robust man who usually smells of flowers and mints, always with a fantastical story to tell and a happy countenance. Jack genuinely enjoys his company.
Sounds like a nice, quirky character.
Yeah, but on this particular day, the routine shatters. Silas smells of must and dust, and his usual tall tales are replaced by words of urgency and importance. His eyes are like a frightened deer, and his short, gasping breaths betray a profound fear. Totally different guy.
Uh-oh. Something's clearly wrong.
Very wrong. And then comes the moment that irrevocably changes Jack's life. Silas abruptly thrusts a heart-shaped locket into Jack's shirt pocket, delivering this chilling prophecy in urgent, low-measured words. Jack, take this locket. It means the future of this planet. Keep it. Do not lose it. Do not let it out of your sight.
Wow.
And with that, only his left shoe shined, Silas bolts from the chair and vanishes into the crowd, leaving Jack just completely bewildered.
Here's where the narrative truly ignites. Silas's sudden transformation and his urgent, almost prophetic declaration are the story's narrative linchpin. This locket functions as a classic MacGuffin, you know, that Hitchcock term for a plot device that drives the story forward.
Right, the thing everyone's after.
Exactly. But unlike maybe a typical MacGuffin here, the phrase, the future of this planet, immediately elevates the stakes to global consequence. It ties Jack's personal fate directly to something far grander. It creates an instant, irresistible mystery for us.
It's a powerful moment. I mean, consider the psychological impact of being handed such profound responsibility by a frantic stranger, especially one you trust. How would you process those words? What burden would that place on you?
Immense. Just immense.
So back in his camper van, Jack grapples with this heavy secret. He's described as mindlessly caressing the mysterious locket, Silas's words just playing and replaying in the back of my mind. He knows he needs to take a closer look with my eyes, but not yet, maybe tomorrow. That classic procrastination.
Oh, that relatable human tendency to defer. Even when maybe the fate of the planet hangs in the balance, it sets up the next turn perfectly, doesn't it?
It does, because the next morning, July 13th, a damp, foggy day mirroring Jessica's mood. The locket is gone. He frantically searches his shirt. Gone! The locket is gone! He describes a rising panic, fumbling, shaking his shirt, the truth sinking in.
Oh no, after that warning.
Right. Despair sets in as Jack walks the isolated stretch of sandy beach, cursing himself for the loss, desperately trying to reconcile Silas's dire warning with his own carelessness. He dismisses the fleeting thought that Silas was just another crazy man because he knows him to be trustworthy and grounded. Lost in thought, under what the author describes as a sliver of a moon, adding to the surreal vibe, his attention is entirely inward.
And this raises a critical point. The narrative deliberately leaves us wondering if the locket was stolen or simply vanished. The immediate self-blame Jack feels is a deeply human reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the larger implications of its disappearance after such a dire warning are profound. The author uses Jack's inward focus to heighten the dramatic irony. He's so consumed by his internal struggle that he's completely unprepared for the external threat that quickly materializes.
That's right. As he's lost in thought, the world suddenly goes black. Whack! Someone turned out the lights! An abrupt, jarring end to his rumination. Total darkness.
And that connects us back.
Exactly. This brings us to morning July 14th, just hours before we first encounter Jack on that desolate surface. He awakens on a concrete floor, in a silence so deep, feeling an ache on the back of my head. It's a brutal, disorienting awakening where he initially believes he's died, until the thud of his own heartbeat confirms otherwise.
What a terrifying way to wake up.
Totally. Slowly, painfully, memory trickles back. Silas's words, the locket, searching his shirt, walking the beach, and then nothing until now. The mystery of his abduction and how he got to this underground prison is a terrifying blank.
It's just darkness and concrete.
Pretty much. In the crushing darkness, he explores, his reconnaissance revealing only cold concrete walls and, crucially, metal rungs leading upward a ladder. It's his only discernible path out.
If it even leads out.
Right. So facing this utter void, Jack confronts two stark options. Option one, lay down, give up, and wait for my end. Option two, go up. Despite his pounding head and racing heart, Jack chooses to climb, counting 125 rungs as he ascends into the absolute unknown. It's a raw, primal testament to his will to survive.
And this moment serves as a powerful, character-defining crucible for Jack, doesn't it? The forced choice between surrender and ascent, especially in total darkness, encapsulates that fundamental human drive, survival. The author uses the sheer visceral effort of climbing those 125 rungs to not only emphasize the literal journey, but also to forge Jack's foundational resilience. It's a key moment.
It really is. Defines him by action, not just thought.
Exactly. It defines his character not by what he says, but by his sheer unwavering will in the face of, well, what seems like certain death.
As he climbs, hand over hand, legs burning, sweat pouring, his hand strikes something different, no longer a cold rung, but the underside of a warm hatch, complete with a handle and a bar. He pauses, dread and hope swirling, before heaving the bar up and to the side. There's an audible click and an instant sliver of light that forces me to look away as if looking directly into the sun.
That first glimpse of light.
Yeah. That blinding sliver of light leading to the barren world we first met him in is a potent symbol of a new, harsh beginning. Consider the sheer willpower and raw trepidation required in that moment, pushing open a hatch to an utterly unknown world after such a harrowing ordeal. It's a gut-wrenching choice for anyone.
Absolutely. And what's truly fascinating here is how the story uses Jack's thrilling, deeply personal journey to mirror a potentially global catastrophe. His initial discomfort with a little dust and grime becomes utterly trivial when juxtaposed with the barrenness and emptiness of a world transformed beyond recognition.
That contrast is huge.
It is. His individual struggles amplify the larger terrifying mystery of what has befallen the planet, making us feel the stakes, both personally and, you know, cosmically.
Indeed. We've seen Jack's world upended, his mundane life violently interrupted by a mysterious prophecy, a theft, an abduction, a desperate climb, and a miraculous reunion with the very object that sparked it all. He's gone from a simple shoe shiner to an unlikely figure thrust into a profound global mystery, literally emerging from the depths into a transformed world.
And this narrative progression immediately makes us wonder, especially as Jack lies in the desolation, clutching his locket, and then meets a woman who claims it. The text tells us, a shadow passes over my legs, up my body, and soon covers my eyes. He then hears the most beautiful voice and the most beautiful words that I have ever heard.
Okay, so he's not alone for long.
Not for long. A woman with warm brown hair and kind eyes smiles down at him and says, "That locket belongs to me." So the implication here is, what forces are truly at play with this locket and this barren world? And what might the future of the planet truly entail in a place so devoid of life, yet still holding profound secrets and the potential for new, mysterious encounters? It leaves you hanging.
It really does. That's our deep dive into the compelling opening of Surface Area, The Locket's Labyrinth. We hope this look at Jack's journey from an ordinary life to an extraordinary, desolate future has left you with plenty to ponder about destiny, resilience, and the power of a single, small object.